Welcome to the Traveling Enneagram with Nikki Myers. Over the next hour, Nikki and her guests will take you on a journey of self-discovery and teach you all about your Enneagram type, from your core fears and desires to the motivation for your behavior and beyond. Now, here is your host, Nikki Myers.
Welcome back, EnneaFam. Wow, what a ride, my friends. As you may remember, last week I mentioned that today wraps my pilot series for the show and season one of the Traveling Enneagram. I'm going to be taking a short break before launching season two, which will be in just podcast format, but still available on all the platforms that you've already found me on. So keep your peepers peeped, and a huge thank you to all of you across the globe who have tuned in. It honestly means the absolute world to me. And today we have for this final episode a really exciting guest and a really exciting topic that I can't wait to dive into. But before we jump into that, the usual business. So as I've been talking about since the very beginning of this season, every month I donate a portion of my workshop fees to a different charity. And this month I'm focusing on animal rescue. So we currently have four of the loves of our lives who came from rescue, and our lives wouldn't be the same or possible without the love and care and absolutely time that rescues and the folks who run them have sacrificed and given to us. So I know I say this every time, but my workshops are both half and full day and focus on team building, leadership development, people development, and all three. I incorporate the Enneagram to help people understand themselves, and then in tandem with concepts like communication, conflict navigation, crucial conversations, effective feedback, decision making, goal setting, you name it, anything human, anything professional, and anything in between. I also offer one-on-one and couple sessions, which cover personal growth, addiction recovery, trauma, and so on, as well as how to be a better partner and your best self in relationship. And of course, as you all know, these are pay what you can. If you're interested, or if you know anybody who might be, head on over to puravitacd.com, click on Let's Connect, and we'll take 30 minutes and just chat about your needs and dive in together. So in camper news, as I'm sure all of you are anxiously awaiting, the GoPro still has not been found. Some say it's sleeping with the fishes now. And if you don't think I'm the person who doesn't laugh at my own jokes, well, I am, and I do, and I will not apologize, but we're never going to find it. And I'm trying to convince my husband of that, but he is still holding on to hope that we'll find his GoPro at the bottom of our lake. So that's what I have. And our new hot tub is amazing, and it's way better, or as my grandpa used to say, way gooder than the inflatable one that we used to have. So I'm super excited to be over that debacle. All right. So that was a lot. But I think I have also shared with all of you that I am a self-proclaimed oxygen vampire, if that wasn't already blatantly obvious. So with that, let me introduce you to my guest. Today, I have Dayo Ajinaku talking with me about the Enneagram and empowerment, specifically in the BIPOC community. And I want to tell you a little bit about her. But before I get into that, I do want to share with all of you that this topic is something that goes very, very deep and far more than, you know, the 50 minutes that we have for the show to talk about this. So we are intentionally keeping it light, intentionally keeping it topical, because I think these kinds of conversations deserve a lot more time. And so I just want that little disclaimer. So with that being said, let me introduce you to Dayo. She is a lifelong student. It's Thursday. Words are hard still. I said that on Monday too. She is a lifelong student focused on bringing joy and justice to the world. She is also the owner and founder of the Instagram page, The Black Enneagram. So anybody who's interested, go ahead, hop on at The Black Enneagram and start following her. She's got some really fun and awesome content. But she offers basic Enneagram education through Black culture and Black images. The Black Enneagram combines her love of the Enneagram, Black culture, entertainment, and Christianity with the purpose of increasing self-awareness, growth, and relational health, specifically in the Black community. She regularly engages issues of faith, justice, self-awareness, love, and unapologetic joy. And I love that. And I can say in the short time that I've gotten to know her, that is so true. The Black Enneagram is a safe haven for all people, regardless of racial identity, who want to grow in the kind of godly self-love that overflows into love for all. What a beautiful biography, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. This is going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun for a really heavy topic, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to start and jump in. Obviously, I just read your bio, so I know a little bit about you, but I want a little bit, want to learn a little bit more. I'm telling you, I have the same amount of coffee every day. It is a cup, and I still get out of control by mid-afternoon. It's not supposed to work that way, but I want to learn a little bit more about you. And then I also want to hear, like, how did you get involved with the Enneagram? I love these journeys for everybody.
So obviously, like you said, my name is Dayo. I'm a Nigerian American. I came to the States when I was 2. So I've basically lived here most of my life. I'm currently a grad student at Berkeley Law. So that's been an interesting and
to say the least.
Journey. I live in Oakland, California, and that's also been a journey of moving from the South. My family's in Texas, moved from the South to the West. That's a very different environment. But I found the Enneagram through a friend when I was living in Georgia, because I went to undergrad in Georgia. I had a friend when I was living in Georgia who was like kind of noticing that like I was going through a lot. As a one, I kind of, when I feel safe, I kind of wear my emotions on my sleeve, and I kind of like show all of my distress. And she was noticing, she's a 2, she was noticing my distress, and she was like, oh, Dayo, I think that you could really benefit from learning about the Enneagram, because I love personality type and systems, love them so much. And then the year 2020, I was a college senior at the time, and I was taking a course called Creativity and Innovation in Business. And that course, the professor, one of our assignments was to come up with this like novel idea that no one had ever done before. It could be either be a product or a service. And so I immediately thought like, but so kind of backing up, when I learned about the Enneagram, I was like, oh, this is interesting, but I don't really see myself represented in this work. Like I don't see myself. I was really invested in like the Instagram part of it. So I wasn't really into the books yet, because I feel like for me, reading a long book about the Enneagram was like intimidating. So I was like, oh, let me just get like quick bit knowledge. So I followed a lot of Instagram pages, but I really didn't see myself represented in any of the stuff. Like when it came to like the serious like coaching and training, and like those things were like, oh yeah, those are universal. But the fun side of the Enneagram, I felt very left out. And so this course, you know, we were in obviously college class, and we had this project, and my mind goes back to like, oh, like I felt very unseen on the fun Instagram space. I want to feel seen. I'm sure other people, Black people, want to feel seen. What if I, you know, they made the decision to create an Instagram page for people of color, or specifically started out for Black people, I chose to take an art approach. So I like taught myself how to quickly graphic design. I do not consider myself an artist. I am a glorified tracer. I would never disrespect art by calling myself an artist. But I kind of taught myself how to do like quote unquote graphic design. And I started making art for like, I started using Black like art and like combining it with Enneagram education and trying to like bring awareness to the Black community of what like the Enneagram is. And so unfortunately, but also fortunately, timing worked out where the world was kind of like in an upheaval in 2020. Mm-hmm. This was all happening in 2020. The world was having an upheaval in 2020. And my page had just started, and the Enneagram community was kind of like realizing, oh, wait, we don't really have any Black, like, or rather Black people are not really predominant in this space. And so when some of the white people who do Enneagram work found my page, they started to share it widely. And that kind of brought some attention to like the reality that like Black people of color, LGBT people are really left out of the conversation a lot when it comes to the Enneagram, because it feels like dominant culture is more important. That was kind of how I got involved with it. It was my friend. And then I kind of was like, no, this doesn't feel like it's as universal as it should be. It is universal. It came from a universal place. It should come back to that universal place. So.
I love that, especially what you just said about it being, it is universal. It is cross-cultural, cross-religion, it's gender fluid, it's everything. Yeah. And I give you a lot of respect too, because I looked at your graphics and everything that you do post, and they're beautiful. just as a little token for myself in my sevenness, I have no patience for completing even a thought, much less a post. And so I have a lot of respect being a law student and like all the things you have going on. Your content is really beautiful. It is short and sweet and to the point, and I love it. And so I wanted to ask about that too. So, you know, obviously I've learned how, you know, you decided to create the Black Enneagram. What do you see for that? And what is your vision for it as it evolves, understanding that you are very busy in school too?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're aware, but like Instagram has kind of been like abusing content creators in the sense that like they're kind of moving from still images to like videos.
Oh yeah.
And the work that I do does not cater to videos, so like my engagement has gone way down, which is fine. I don't care about numbers. I just really hope people who need to see it. But that has made me actually ask myself, okay, what do I actually want to do with this? And so I think the 2021 I hosted this thing called the Black Lady Support Group, and I had a bunch of Black women who shared Enneagram types come together and just talk about what it's like to be their type, because it's really hard to find other Black women who share your type that you can talk to about your experience. And so I kind of want to do that more often and do that monthly and create a community out of the Black Enneagram. I want to finish my certification. I'm not certified yet. I'm in the process, but I want to finish that. I'm also in the process of writing a book, so I'm really excited about that as well. And I want to keep sharing the fun side of the Enneagram. I feel like the Black community deserves to have kind of a laid back, like non-heavy, like Enneagram content. Like I don't want to, even though I do want to deepen my own understanding and awareness and growth in the Enneagram, like I don't want to forsake all the work that's important about, I feel like I think I might've been telling you this before, like there's a lot of Instagram pages for non-Black people that are fun and just like carefree and don't go deep. So I make the decision to kind of be like, okay, let's go deep and let's do the hard work. Like, that would just not feel fair, because then they wouldn't have, it would just not feel fair. So I want to still continue the fun, silly, lighthearted stuff of the Enneagram. And then like in the far future, when I'm like in my 50s, 60s, I would love to teach at a law school, but to teach the Enneagram for lawyers. That would be so much fun. That's like a dream.
That is so cool.
So I
did a workshop with a bunch of leaders once, or lawyers, and I thought I'd be funny by telling lawyer dad jokes. It went well, but I was like, again, the only one really laughing at my own jokes. That's fine. I'm fine in that space. It was great. It was hilarious. But I with that being said, I think, you know, as we talked on the phone, I think this is a space that's truly needed. And truth be told, you know, like I said, what you are posting is light, but it's also still really informative and kind of seen, I would imagine, you know, through the lens of a person of color in a way that like just feels more, you know, at home and safe and resonative, which we have decided. I made that word up and I probably use it once an episode and I don't even care. And if it is a real word, I don't care either. So you and I were kind of talking a little bit ago about how, and we've touched on this a little bit, but I think we can go a layer deeper about how, you know, the Enneagram is this cross-cultural, cross-religious personality typing structure, and it's been around for a very, very long time. So, you know, I guess, you know, my question or a discussion point for us is, why do we care about this? Why do we care about changing the narrative about, you know, by the way, this is like a softball question. I know why we care, but I want to get your perspective. Why do we care about opening the narrative and really giving that perspective through the BIPOC lens?
Yeah, I think a couple of reasons. I think first, there's a reality that the expression of each type will show up differently depending on their race, ethnicity, gender, like sexual orientation, their economic status, like everything matters, right? Like the background of the person matters. But a lot of the type descriptions feel very narrow. For example, if you're looking at the type eight, this is the most obvious example. The type eight description works for white men, but it does not always work for Black women, because Black women, if you are a type A, you will often be stereotyped as the angry Black woman, which is no one wants to be called that, right? No one wants to wear that on as like a badge of about a way they define and, you know, talk about their personality. So I just feel like one reason why it matters is that a lot of people will mistype themselves mm-hmm. because they either don't want to be associated with the idea of being an angry Black woman or being bougie as a one. I feel like that's a stereotype for ones, is that we're bougie and stuck up. You know, there's stereotypes for each of the types to me. And I think that's why it matters, is that if we have a more diverse and more robust, the way that we describe the types, I think it then helps people not mistype. Even though the likeliness of mistyping is cross-culture, everyone is going to mistype at some point. But I think it makes it harder to mistype if you come from an approach of like, people who are not in my culture will be reading this description. Will they be able to resonate? I think also like, it matters because if you don't see yourself in something, the likeliness of you adopting it and trying to use it is slim. Mm-hmm. For example, when I wanted to go to law school, I was in Atlanta when that idea came. So because I saw all of these like young Black professionals who were attorneys and doctors, I was like, oh, I can do this. What do you mean? Like, there's nothing stopping me from becoming an attorney. But with the Enneagram, the reason why I left the Enneagram after I had learned about it the first time was because I didn't see people in this mm-hmm. space. I was like, oh, this must not be for me. Mm-hmm. So the Enneagram is such a powerful tool that it can really change the way that you live your life and the way you see other people.
Yes.
That if we're turning people away from the Enneagram because we're not including them into it, it just doesn't feel fair and right. Like, I feel like the Black community is missing out on this really like this gem, honestly, yeah. because the industry in general, or maybe like the way the U.S. does the Enneagram, is very like narrow and niche and does not include everyone. Mm-hmm. I will say there have been attempts on all sides to be more inclusive. I mean, the amount of people who have offered me scholarships to be a part of their programs, like, I mean, the Enneagram community has really opened their arms. And I think I've been noticing that when people who are in the Enneagram community really put their money and their actions where their mouth is, like, they really, really do. So this is honestly my favorite community I've ever been a part of. Like, I've never felt like I've been unwanted or like people don't want me to be a part of this. Like, they actually are very like, oh, like open arms. I think that's why the Enneagram is so amazing, because it's like, you can actually see it bearing fruit in people's lives who are actually being like approachable and actually being teachable. Like, if the Enneagram is doing that for white people, I want it to do that for our community. Yeah. I feel like our community needs, like, we have a lot, everyone has a lot to do, but I think the Black community is hurting in a lot of ways. And the Enneagram, coupled with you know, with a lot of other things, you know, therapy and self-care, all these things can like do a lot of really good for the community. But if we don't see ourselves in it, I don't know how that would translate. So yeah.
And I think some of the things that you said really stuck out to me. And I think, you know, your stereotype about the angry Black woman, like, when I say it rings true to me, as a seven, am part of the assertive triad, right? The 3-7 and 8. Yeah. And I often, you know, this is, let's just start by saying, this is not a direct comparison in any way, but I love seeing the world through analogies. And part of that is me putting myself in that position too, and being able to see it from that capacity. But when I worked in retail, I would have people, I was the manager of the store at the time or whatever, people would say, can I talk to your mail manager? Or things like that, right? And, or on the flip side of that, not related to retail, but just my life in general, being told that I'm too loud, too much, too in your face. And so I think, for me, I love being a seven, but I think you'll be hard pressed to find a seven that doesn't feel that way.
Right.
At the same time, that stereotype, there's also, you know, harm in being a seven female, like, she doesn't have depth, right? So I'm saying that to say, I can only imagine in a further repressed space, because being a woman is being a minority, but not the same, right? And so I can imagine being repressed even further in that space can really lead to a lot of really awful feelings, right? And like you said, when you can see people showing up in that space to really lift you up and provide the tools and resources, because the entire purpose, and for everybody who's listening, the entire purpose of understanding the Enneagram, as I've shared every single episode, is to understand yourself, to see what's right about you, and, you know, obviously give you a roadmap to self-growth and self-awareness and those kinds of things. But if you approach it and feel like, wow, I don't belong in this space. Yeah. I don't want to be an eight. I don't want to be the angry Black woman. Then you miss out on all the wonderful things, but I can see how you wouldn't want to be in that space. Right. And there's a lot of, you know, examples in other spaces, but I think that one was really powerful that you shared. And I do agree too. I think the Enneagram community is obviously, you know, to talk the talk, they should walk the walk. And I think you're absolutely right in that they do. I think where we get into trouble is, as a society, we look at how we can like type ourselves, right? We figure out what Disney villain we should be, right? Or like what woodland creature we are, and we want to be there. So like we live in this space where we want to be like, we want to understand ourselves and the people around us more deeply. And that's a really wonderful thing, except when it comes to, like you said, the stereotypes and placing people in this box and seeing them for only these things that, you know, so no, I love exactly what you said. And I again, want to take this a layer deeper. Because even though we said we were going to stay light, we still are, but we're going to go a little deep. Yeah. I've been using this pool or lake analogy. So like, we're like waist level deep right now.
Yeah.
So, but in kind of thinking about how, again, the purpose of the Enneagram is for obviously for understanding ourselves in this roadmap, but before you get into any of that work, before you can allow for a space for that to happen, you have to understand and be able to practice compassion and empathy and, more important for yourself and others, non-judgment.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of like dive. Nope, we're not diving in. We're still waist deep. We're going to talk a little bit about how this kind of tool is needed in our world today. And we don't necessarily need to like discuss racism on a deep level, but how do you think understanding this information helps combat some of that?
I want to start, it's a huge question that I don't think I can answer, I'll be honest. I think that the people who I want to recommend who are great people who like will be great resources for this are Tichy Agarwal. She wrote a book called The Enneagram for Black Liberation. There you go. And also Jessica D. Dixon. She also does anti-racism and Enneagram work as well. And then finally, Dr. Deborah Egerton also has a book called No Justice, No Peace, where she also combines the Enneagram with anti-racism work. So those three women are doing a phenomenal job with answering this question of like, how do we use the Enneagram, but like also walk towards this compassion, empathy, and non-judgment in a way that includes anti-racism, because you really can't do anti-racism work. I mean, Enneagram work without anti-racism work.
Right.
Because if you're using the Enneagram and you're still racist, you're not doing the work. You're not. Like, there's no way that you can say that you're doing the work if you look at other people and you think that you are in some way higher or better because of your ethnicity, race, whatever. And I think that for me, if I could answer the question with the, you know, small knowledge that I have on this, is I think for me, the realization that like, there are 9 different ways to be in the world, and there's not only one way, one right way to see things. And that not only includes like Enneagram personality, but like race, right? Like the way that Black people exist in this world is good, right? Like it's okay. Like it's perfectly fine. And the way that White people exist in this world is fine, right? When, at least when it doesn't have those unconscious biases and issues that come with it. Like the problem isn't the culture. The problem is when we start to use it in a way that's just mental, in a way that's like you know, harsh. That's kind of my response, is just that constant awareness. For me at least, it works, that constant awareness that like my perspective is not the only perspective, it's not the right perspective, and as a one, it's not the only right perspective. It is a right perspective, but it's not the only right perspective. As a one, that helps me to like see other types and see other ways of being as good, and not, and then, and but not, seeing it as good, and but not also seeing mine as bad, like not even to compare, but also just seeing it as like, oh, we're one, like we are all one, but our oneness is different. Like it's like different shades of gray, right? That's kind of what the analogy I like that people use, is like, we're all gray, but we're different shades of that gray, and that's okay. Like it's a good thing to be those different shades. And I think for me, the Enneagram just reminds me that for me to get to that place of compassion, I have to realize that my way is okay and mm-hmm. their way is okay too.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure if that answers the question.
No, it does. It absolutely does. And obviously, like, again, it's such a huge question and a huge space. But I think, you know, a couple things that you touched on, like, there is no good type. There is no bad type, right? And I think it's important to understand some of these components we haven't discussed yet in my show, season two, spoiler alert. but thinking about how, you know, a lot of people spend their life in their lower levels of mental, average to lower levels of mental or emotional health, specifically, you know, as a result of the pandemic and, you know, a lot of life things that are happening. But when we are in that lower space, we operate out of our defensive mechanisms, right?
Exactly.
And when we're in our defensive mechanisms, we are closed down. We are not present. We are combative, right? And these things can be on a really intense level. They can be on a really light level. They can be everything in between. But, and Dio, this is not going to come to a surprise to you at all. I want to inform people who are listening who are maybe newer in this space, but when we're in that place, we have a tendency to mirror other people. As humans, we mirror other people. When we're in that space, we take on those same kind of like doom and gloom, everything is awful, right? And so, you know, when we have this tool that shows us the way that we think about things, why we think about things, and then why we react the way that we do, mm-hmm. we get to see when we're operating out of our own defense mechanisms, right? When we're in our lower levels of mental or emotional health, and it's a space to check ourselves and to be able to say, okay, it's kind of like, I use this analogy all the time. Well, I'll ask you, what kind of car do you drive? If you drive a car, I don't know if that's a thing in California.
I do drive a car. I drive a Mercedes Benz. So that's
fair enough. Okay. But the point is, when you bought that car, you saw that car everywhere on the road, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's no different when it comes to this space where when I learn all this stuff about myself, I can't help but not see all of the car that I just bought driving on the road, right? Like, it's not that car, that there's more of it. That's not the case. It's that we are now seeing it. And, you know, and again, when it comes to our behavior, then we have the choice to say, is the way that I've been doing X, Y, or Z, how I want to show up and how I want to do things my whole life. And by the way, now I have an understanding of why I'm doing them that way. Or which the reasons that we do the things that we do are not often pleasant, right? Like when we read our description and where it came from, we're like, that's not fun, right? But it gives us that sort of point of choice to say, I can do something different. And so I think, you know, but again, you have to learn that it's okay to do something different, that you are a whole human and a beautiful human. That's why in the Enneagram world, we teach our true essence, right? And we have these vices that get in the way and these other, you know, things, but the truth of the matter is we are our whole beautiful human beings. And so to me, I think that when we can see this stuff in action and have that moment to say, how do I want to show up? We have the opportunity combined with this compassion, you know, that really has to come from forgiving ourselves for the way that we, you know, have been or have thought we needed to be, and forgiveness and non-judgment for how we handle things in the future. P.S. We're never going to do things 100% the way we want them to be, right? But we keep trying. And I think when we have that kind of mentality, we can look at other people, whether it is other people who are the same as us or other people who are different than us. And like you said, every shade of gray in between that, we can look at that and say, I know where my hurts come from and where my pains come from. And I'm aware of the way that I act. And you know what? You may not be the same type as me or the same like life situation as me, but man, can I give you some empathy for what it is that you must be going through.
Right.
And when we can get to that place as a collective human race, right, then we don't see people, we don't allow, and it's not that we don't see people for their race, it's that we don't allow ourselves to treat people less than, because it's no longer about that. It's yeah. compassion and empathy for right. the human being that's in front of us, right?
Yeah, and you can only do that if you've given it to yourself first. That's the thing I'm learning yes. in just life, is like, you can't give someone compassion if you've never given compassion to yourself. You can't give someone empathy if you haven't given empathy to yourself. So the first, I don't think, I do think like the part of giving to other people is so vital and so important. But I think I've been learning personally, like, just that I can't give what I don't have.
Yeah.
And it's way more difficult to show up for people if I don't show up for myself. And so I think that's what the Enneagram does, right? It gives you that room and that space to say, like, I've gone through some really hard stuff. Like, how can I show up for myself? And then when you're able to do that, then when you see someone else going through a hard thing, or someone reacts to you in a way that's like, whoa, like, you can be aware of, like, oh, like, if I'm going through hard stuff, they're probably going through hard stuff too. And you can have that quote unquote compassion and empathy for them too, because you've given yourself that space. And obviously, like you said, it's like, it's a lifelong journey. There are things yeah. that I'm learning now that I'm like, oh my gosh, am I gonna have to deal with this for the rest of my life? Like, this is a lot. Mm-hmm. But I guess yes. Like, I guess this is gonna be this is the work, is just like you said, like, choosing a different path, like, choosing I think for me, right, that reaction, like, choosing a different reaction. Because I just to share a little bit about what I'm
yes
in this place right now is
yes
like choosing not to react to like what people call emotional neglect, and like with the most emotional neglect, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you feel like someone isn't showing up for you, instead of being like, hey, we're not friends anymore, like, actually having a conversation.
Yep.
And saying, hey, like, I would love for you to show up in XYZ way. But that's really scary for me. Like, that's really a terrifying thing, to ask someone to meet me somewhere. Because the answer could be no, right? But yeah. trusting that, you are important enough, you're loved enough to ask for these things and to have these things given to you. But I have to be willing to hold space for myself first, because in the event that people say no, I'm not going to be left wanting, right? Does
yeah.
that make sense? But
absolutely.
So yeah, just like little things like that. I think the work is forever.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but also fortunately.
Right. At least we get to be awake to it, right? Like.
Yeah.
I think so many people, and why I in particular absolutely like live this work. And yeah. I say that because I'm thinking about it, dreaming about it. Like, I'm sort of a crazy person in this space, but again, I'm not going to apologize for that. It's a pretty awesome space to be, but I think, you know, so many people are asleep to the things yeah. that are happening in their lives. And then that's why that's why presence is such a gift. Right. And I say that as a seven, I'm so future oriented mm-hmm. in my life. And I think I've shared examples about how I will be on vacation mm-hmm. in Costa Rica, AKA my future home, AKA the greatest place on the planet to be. And I don't want to be anywhere else in the world, but my future oriented mind yeah. is thinking, okay, what are we doing tomorrow? Okay, but mm-hmm. then I'm in this awesome beach doing this awesome right. thing. And I'm like, but what am I doing tomorrow? So I say that to the listeners, if you happen to be that future-oriented thinker, I get it. But right. but it's hard work. And I'm just saying that to say that presence is a tremendous gift, and it allows us to feel all the feelings, right? To go in all of those spaces, to confront some of our deepest fears, and see the beauty that unfolds as a result of that. And right. and so I think you're absolutely right. And yes, it gives us that space to see it for other people. I also right. think too, you know, ignorance breeds ignorance. Compassion yeah. breeds compassion, right?
Right,
and
right.
and so the more we sort of sprinkle this little Enneagram flower everywhere we can, yeah. you know, most people are parented how their parents right. parented, whose right. parents are parented, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, you mentioned like unconscious bias, there's so much, and being asleep to ourselves, there's so much that we don't even recognize
right.
that we're asleep to because of our like circumstance or yeah. you know whatever that looks like. And so the more we can recognize that, and in some of the programs that I've been working through specifically with the prison project It's about reparenting yourself and right. And really kind of giving yourself the things that you didn't get when you so needed them.
Yeah.
Right. And part of that could be a pivot in thought and really questioning like what I've been through in my life, what I've learned in my life, is that the right thing? Or is it just, you know, like I use, holiday traditions as an example, right? Like if you celebrated Christmas or Hanukkah or, you know, whatever it, your birthday a certain way growing up, you are very likely to celebrate it the same way as you're older, right? Because that's what you know and what, and those are in the fun situations and traditions and things like that. So you can only imagine then what that looks like, you know, when you are in a space where you weren't given the opportunity to think more widely, right?
Right. Yeah. No, that's really good. And I think what I was thinking about while you were speaking, and also I was listening, but I was also thinking about like, saying, like this is a privilege to be able to stop and talk about and think about our like inner world, because there are a lot of people who are just trying to survive, black, white, whatever. It doesn't even matter. Like everyone is just, some people are just trying to survive and live another day. Right. But there's like, there's a lot of privilege in the fact that we get to do this work and think about, have time, free time, right? Free time to read the books, right? And listen to the podcast and, you know, like learn about this stuff on a deeper level, attend the conferences, right? Like that's privilege that not everyone gets. And I think that's why the work that of like Black people doing this, like doing the more serious stuff is so important, because it's like you're giving permission to like, you survival. But this is important too. Like your inner world is so important as well. And the awareness that Black people are getting of like, oh, what the Enneagram even is I think profound. I think it's that, even just that beginning part is really profound, because a lot of people in general, Black or white, like they just are just trying to survive.
Yeah.
Just recognizing the privilege that we have by talking about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I had a thought, but it,
no,
just traipsed right on out of my head. That's the story of my life. It'll come to me probably at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'll sit straight up in bed. No, I think it was really just around what you said about how we're in survival mode.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, as we talk about the Enneagram, anybody that knows any of the basics about it, you know that we do things in service of survival. Right, and it's hard to think about that, right? We all go back to like ninth grade biology class when our teacher's talking about that and Darwinism. It's like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, but the truth of the matter is that's how our brain works. That's how we function. And so when everything is boiled down to survival, of course we understand why we act the way that we do. When it comes to like trying to protect ourselves, and I say this on behalf of the entire human race, right? Like if we are operating out of survival, then we have to be able to question when that's not something that that is a true threat, that it's not something that we need to get you know, really worked up about. But we also need to recognize and understand our brains are complex little critters. And sometimes these things aren't readily available. And so it helps us understand ourselves, but really question and pause and see why do we have to act like a bunch of assholes when we don't need to be acting like a bunch of assholes? Like there's no purpose for it. But
I love what you said up before about how, like, you know, we're sprinkling the Enneagram fire on everyone. Cause I think I realized that like the way my parents parented me, like you said, was a result of them being parents in a certain way. And so my decision to make a different choice can be scary, but I think I even have to like sit and be grateful for like them, because their survival is now giving me room to thrive and not just survive. Like I have the time, right?
Yes.
To even talk about this, because my parents went through what they went through. My parents are immigrants. I'm Nigerian American. So they had to go through a whirlwind of things just to be able to put food on the table sometimes. And they ended up getting into a place where, you know, they're thriving, but emotionally thriving, maybe not. Right.
Like it's hard. Yeah.
I don't know how much you know about the Nigerian community, but we need therapy. We need so much therapy. It's really hard. But I think this conversation is making me even more grateful for the fact, like where I am in my life. Like the fact that I even have the opportunity to talk about this and do this. Like, I'm grateful for my parents, I'm grateful for the people who've come before us, our ancestors, right?
Yeah.
Who didn't have the privilege of, let me think about my feelings. Like, they didn't have about their feelings.
Right.
But I do. So I might as well use that as my advantage. And if I have those future children, like, they're not going to have to live in survival mode, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to thrive because of the gift of the Enneagram, because of the gift of my ancestors, the gift of my parents, you know? So, random aside, but I just thought about that. This is so cool.
Well, but I think it also bears explaining that. And I just did a whole thing on emotional intelligence this week. And so it's kind of literally at the front of my mind. Hey-o! Because that's where your thinking brain is. Right. Yeah, okay. I can't help myself. But anyhow, again, the Enneagram in doing this work raises our emotional intelligence because of how it teaches us self-regulation, self-awareness, right? Awareness of others and social skills and so on. It is a fact that when you have high emotional intelligence, you will raise children who have high emotional intelligence. In my case, I have dogs and they have high emotional intelligence.
I love that.
It is the secret sauce to relationships, right? Being successful, people who have high emotional intelligence. And of course, you know, we can talk about what that looks like in businesses, but the most important thing is that space of compassion breeding compassion, right? Like you quite literally raise children who grow up to be more open-minded but it also means that at some point some people have to break the cycle, and also at some point some people have to recognize what their worth is. And so I want to go into the next discussion point about how, you know, and neither of us are necessarily experts in anti-racism or racism, right? But I think we can kind of talk a little bit about how people, and really the crux of this conversation, how people can use what they know about their Enneagram type as a point of empowerment, strength, a tool for growth, and so on. And I think the way I kind of think about this is, you know, I'll take your type as an example, right? The type one having a really harsh inner critic, and, you know, always being told all the ways in which you didn't do something right, or other people didn't do something right, and how all the ways that they're irritating you and getting under your skin, and that sort of thing. So when you look at the type one, you can see a tremendous point where in doing the work to quiet that inner critic, how you can impart a lot of personal change, and impart, right, when you don't see other people as right and wrong, you can empower, you know, this sort of like equality, and that everybody is beautiful, right? So that's kind of the track that I want to think about with this question, and what that looks like. Might even be a cool Instagram graphic thing. I'll be honest, I have never sent a snap. I have never done a TikTok.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm not even that old. Yeah, I just don't know how to do these things. So I say that as a suggestion, not knowing what goes into it. but that's where I kind of want to take this next question before we open it up to questions.
I think that's a really good question. I think when I was thinking about the question before, I was like, oh, you know, I think the thing that's helped me the most in empowerment, strength, and using it as a tool for growth is community. Mm. Not doing it in a narrow bubble. Doing it with people who want to see you grow, who you want to see grow, who you love and care about. Because what happens is that they are able to keep us accountable to like our growth, and because I think a lot of times what happens in the Enneagram community with people who are not like, you know, learning, like who are not like teachers, is that we end up using our Enneagram type as an excuse for our behavior,
yes,
rather than as a growing point. But when you're doing with other people, you know, people are gonna call you out. People are gonna tell you like, oh, like I see you're kind of, you know, living in this structure, but you know, is that really the essence of who you are? Like, if you have really good friends who you trust, and who you are okay with them speaking into your life, I would say get connected with people who also know their Enneagram type. Obviously, read about each other's Enneagram types. Like, I think that's a really cool and empowering way to grow, is learning about other people's Enneagram types, so you know how to relate to them. Like, not making it about just you has been really important for me in like finding empowerment in the Enneagram, because I'm a very naturally individualistic person. Mm-hmm. The Black community in general is very communal, But I think this is like interesting how different like people like approach the Enneagram. And I think that the Enneagram is also, it was always supposed to be a communal thing. Yes. I think the US has kind of made it into an individualistic thing. So it works for me and my personality, but some people need that like community. I even need that community, right? Yeah. So doing it in a community is so, so important. And I think that's where, I think that's where the empowerment comes from, is other people seeing the good in you, the harsh in you, and still loving you despite it. That's my biggest challenge in life, is like being okay with imperfection and still feeling lovable from the imperfection. But everyone has different, like you said, everyone has different work to do. Everyone has different things to do, to kind of work through. And I think also another thing that I was thinking about was two things. Getting connected with experts who are doing the deep work. So like my Instagram page is not for deep work. It is never going to be for deep work. So if you are looking for deep work, like, I mean, resources abound, please DM me. But find people, whether they're like therapists, whether they are counselors, whether they are coaches, whether they're people teaching courses, whoever you can find that really knows the Enneagram stuff, and just learn from them. And actually, like, if they give you practices, do the practices.
Yeah.
But, like, have a balance of the fun and the serious, because the Enneagram is not just about, oh, like, what TV character am I like? Like, that's fun. And you can you can actually learn a lot from that if you take it to its extreme point. However, the Enneagram, I think that combination of community and being with people who are really, really deeply formed by this work already can do a lot of really, really good things for you and empowering you.
Yeah. I love that. And I think I think you are so right. And the only thing I'll add to that is within taking the community piece, if you do boil it down to an individual self, I think to me, the empowerment comes from community lifting you up, but the internal empowerment, I think, comes from, again, the prison project has been like the most like foundational like component to anything that I've learned, because it's very different than how I traditionally learned the Enneagram. Okay. Yeah. And what I say by that, or what I mean by what I say, is that we focus on teaching people what's right about you first.
Yeah.
And when you learn what's right about you first, you have this hook for hope around, now that I see the beauty of who I am, my superpower, I can understand how to address when I take that superpower too far and it becomes my liability, right? Or my blind spot or whatever. Mm. And so I think when we think about like being a better human, which does look at, you know, how we address racism. And then when it looks at, you know, how do I lift myself up, right? Yeah. For the type eight person to recognize, I can be a part of an anti-racism, anti-homophobic, right? Insert your thing here. The eight inherently is the justice warrior, the one who does stick up for the underdog. So really leaning into that and seeing, this is what I get to bring to the table. The type two, right? The giver and the helper, the person who is everybody's cheerleader. We all need a type two in our life.
Like,
because they're just so loving and giving and uplifting, and sort of like our inner cheerleader for the person who, you know, wants to do the work, can say, I have that space within me because I do love people and I do lift them up. And for the person who is that, you know, minority or in that space, saying, I am capable of giving love and being in the space and lifting up my community, right? Like, every type has this beauty that can work either in the anti-racism space.
Right.
So, and which is empowering, right? But for the folks who want to think about like what is right about me, that's the beauty of each type, right? And how, there's somebody who wrote an article about like macro, micro, and the middle term I can't remember, but it was aggression? Basically, it started with an M.
Oh,
I don't know. I have no idea. But the point was like how you look at your type and see how you bring your talents to the table on a macro level, right? And then how it's kind of, in this like middle level, and then how you can really like get granular with it. But it was a really beautiful, if I can figure it out, I'll put it on my website. But anyhow, so we have two questions here. And we might just get to one of them, but that's okay. The question comes from Jennifer in Chicago. We kind of were talking about this, I think, but just saying, are there ways I can work to be a strong ally within my community through my Enneagram type?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, the answer is obviously yes.
yes.
I feel like the way that you do it is, this is going back to the whole talking to people who are in these communities.
Yes.
And asking them what they need. I think that's one thing. I mean, asking them what they need and then like giving them what they need. I think the first step, if you have not done anything when it comes to this allyship, is reading the book on the Enneagram and Anti-Racism by Dr. Egerton. I think that book, I've been reading it and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like everything that I've been feeling since 2020, she kind of put into this one, this one book, and that she writes it with allies in mind. So it's not just for people who are, who identify as Black or whatever, BIPOC or LGBT, like it's really for people who want to be allies to the BIPOC community. So I think that book is a really good starting place because I think a lot of times people like recommend books and just like, oh, just keep reading. But I think once you, because I think a lot of these anti-racism books are giving you tools.
Yeah.
To like move forward. But now the problem is like, are you going to use them? Like, you can read all day. Like,
does it go beyond the pages?
But does it go beyond the page? And I think if you've already read books that are anti-racism, implement the tools they've given you. And I think that's scary, right? Like that's incredibly terrifying. And I recognize that it's terrifying because you have to go beyond your pattern, right? Yes. Like we all have a pattern, unconscious bias, you know, that we've been living with all our lives. And to do the opposite or to do something differently is a super, super scary thing. And I think that's why for me personally, community is such a big thing. Like having, and this is a weird thing to say, I'm going to say anyways, and then I can backtrack later on in life because nothing is static, but having Black friends is important. Like, I don't know why that's like a scary thing, but not coming to these people as like, oh, I want you to be my token.
Right.
All of these things, right. Like coming to them with this like humility, right?
Yeah.
Of, like, I really want to like be a part of allyship for this community. And asking them what they need, and then doing it. I think that's the big part, is the doing it. Like, I'm a ones are doers, threes are doers, eights are doers, right? Like that, those three types, like are doers.
Sixes sevens are want to doers.
Yes.
Best intentions of doingers.
Fours are want to doers. But like for the doer types, I feel like maybe it's just like that lens, right? Like I think it's really hard to understand, like, oh, what's so hard? But like it's actually really difficult to
yeah. do. It'd be like somebody telling you to not do.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that's this is probably an helpful question because I'm sure you've heard this advice over and over again, but like that is really what it is.
Yeah.
I think we can keep going around in circles, or we can stop the cycle and just like do the thing that
get off the ride.
All these books have been. Yeah. Get off the ride and do all these things, do the things that all these, you know, books and experts and trainings have been telling us to do, and like just take it one day at a time. Like it's a lifelong journey and you're going to mess up. Like you are going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like that's a hard thing for one to say, but you are going to do something that pisses someone off and you're going to have to apologize. Like and being comfortable with that is just it's a lot.
Part of it.
But
yeah.
Even the desire alone is beautiful.
You are so right, and this time has gone by so dang fast. So Dio, what do you want people to know? Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at the Black Enneagram. So far that's all I have right now. I'm working on my website and all those things, but that is the main part. And all the books that I recommend before with Dr. Egerton, Chichi Agaram, Jessica D. Dixon's Instagram page. Those are resources that I think far exceed what I could talk about. So look them up.
This was a phenomenal conversation. Don't undermine yourself because you said some really beautiful things. And everybody go to the Black Instagram and click follow. I was going to say subscribe, but again, that speaks to my inability to navigate social media. All right. Well, as they say in the entertainment industry, that's a wrap, folks. Or maybe they say cut. I don't know, but that's a wrap. Sounds way better. So we're using that. Thank you again to all of you who have tuned in, sent in questions, and to everyone who supported me both out loud and silently. You sure made a gal feel like she knew what the heck she was talking about. And by the way, I am her. I'm that gal. During this time, this first season, I hope you learned something about yourself, something that you love, or someone that you love, sorry, work with, or all three. But most important, I hope that you learned how this is a tool for creating compassion and non-judgment for yourself and others, and the positive impact and power that it does have in your life. I'll see you all back for season two, and I can't wait to share the wisdom of the Enneagram more deeply with all of you. So, and you all know the drill. Until then, Enneafam, remember, be present, stay curious, and adventure often. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Traveling Enneagram today. Did you discover who you are? Do you still have questions? Then join us on the show next week and continue your journey of self-discovery. Until we talk again, have a great week.